I don't know how to follow that, friends. This is wonderful. Aren't you glad you came to worship today? Isn't this been a great service? Thanks be to God. It's been great. I am glad we're continuing July 4th into July 6th. This is wonderful. So grateful. And that's going to be reflected in my thoughts today as we talk about freedom and celebration of that freedom. I invite us to stand for the reading of God's holy word. A couple of scriptures. One is in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and then Romans 8, 1 through 2. Again, on the theme of freedom today. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed, or you will really be free." This is Romans 8, 1 and 2. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin of death." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I also want to express thanks to Reverend Jim Fillingen for filling in last Sunday, as he so admirably does. And thank you also in the theme of that sermon, that you are the biggest blessing activist I know, Jim. So thanks be to God for you. Thank you, Jim. Bless you. Amen. So this weekend, we do celebrate our freedom, our liberties, and the birth, beginning of our nation. Many of us certainly are aware from our American history the story of our nation's beginning, even as 13 colonies of England, then the intolerable acts of King George, the famed Boston Tea Party, and then the reasons for the revolt that took place, and finally the company of brave congressmen, congressional leaders who put forward the Declaration of Independence. And they knew when they signed that document it would be seen as an act of treason to England. And even in the preamble to the Constitution or the Declaration, we see these words in their own words. "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor." And here we are, yes, 249, 250 years later, celebrating our freedom as a nation. Certainly we have much to celebrate and to give thanks to God for concerning our freedom, both physically and spiritually. We'll talk about both of these today. The Bible speaks a lot about freedom. In biblical history, we know the second book of our Bible, Exodus, what is that story about? It's about the Israelites crying out in their bondage to Egypt. Over 400 years, think about that, nearly twice over the length of our nation's history, over 400 years they had been captive to Egypt. God heard their cries for freedom. God raised up Moses as the deliverer of his people who led them out of their Egyptian captivity. And again, the Exodus event is a foreshadowing, if you will, of an even greater deliverance that would come about through Jesus Christ, what I read in John's Gospel earlier. That's what Jesus is talking about. One greater than Moses is here in the person of Jesus. Yet as we look at our nation's history and we celebrate our freedoms, we recognize that many other countries and people groups have cried out and fought for freedom. Lord only knows how many wars and conflicts have gone forward, how many battles have been fought in the cause of freedom. And today, those fightings and conflicts are still happening in our world. Cities around the world, and nations around the world, as Ukraine and North Korea and the Middle East, parts of Africa, many conflicts may not be recorded in the annals of history, but are there for people crying out for their freedom. So I wondered about this universal call, this universal quest, this universal desire for freedom. Everyone wants to live freely, no matter where they are. We desire to be a free people. So as I thought about that, is where does this desire for freedom arise? Where does it come from? Let's say the creation of freedom would be the first point today. We say freedom, many of us would say freedom is innate. It's instinctive in every human person. No matter where we are, we all have a desire to be free and to live freely. I think our desire for freedom is part of our being created in the image of God. Freedom comes from how God made us, how God created us in His image. From the very beginning, God made us free moral agents. Or we say God gave us free will to choose. So our freedom, first and foremost, comes from creation. It's instilled in our DNA. We are made to live freely. And we're thankful that God made us freely and with freedom of choice and free will, if you will. Not like robots or machines to operate at His command. I'm amazed at artificial intelligence today, the use of robots today. It's quite amazing. By the way, you can get one that looks like a human and pay anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000, depending on how they're programmed and what you want them to do. I'm thankful that God didn't make us with artificial intelligence. He made us with real intelligence, reason, emotion, and will. Freedom to choose, freedom to will. But along with that, of course, from the beginning, we also know that freedom has limits. It has boundaries. There are things that God told Adam and Eve not to do, even though they had freedom. Even though they had freedom to choose and a free will to operate and even act beyond those limits, there were still limits. Of course, the problem was they misused their freedom, made the wrong choice, even in freely choosing. They went beyond the boundary that God established by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here's a great irony in this. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in exercising their freedom to choose and freely moving beyond the boundary that God gave them, they actually became enslaved to their own desires, and they lost their true freedom that God made and gave them originally. They lost that freedom even in using the freedom He gave them. And isn't that a great irony as we think about this? And now the consequence of that, as we look in Genesis 3, we live under the curse. We operate in our natural and unregenerate state as a slave to sin and unrighteousness. So we move from being created in freedom from creation in God's image to now losing or limiting our freedom, becoming captives to our own sinful nature. Our freedom has, in many respects, not been totally lost, but it has been what I call the concession of freedom. From Adam and Eve forward, we've lost our freedom, not our free will, not our free choice, but it is in the operation of that we become enslaved or driven towards sin and the movement away from God. And here I make a distinction between what I call spiritual freedom and political or social freedom. We celebrate our political freedom, 4th of July going forward. And we recognize that we live in the freest nation on the planet. We celebrate our liberties and freedoms like free speech, freedom of religion, how we're gathered here today freely, freedom of the press. At the same time that we acknowledge this, we must also know that in our society, our prisons are filled. There remains much division among people. Mental anguish is prominent from sea to shining sea. In large measure, though we live in the greatest free nation and land, and we can still make free choices, Very often in our humanity, we remain captive, even as Adam and Eve. And we concede our freedom even through the choices we make. A great example of this, I read a couple of Sundays ago, is in Romans 7, where Paul speaks about the human condition and the principle of sin within us. Paul identified he had the freedom to make choices. Oh yes, that's still there. But the problem was he chose the wrong thing. All the way back to Adam and Eve once again. The cycle repeats itself. Another great story, perhaps one of the greatest stories Jesus ever told, many theologians believe that it was told in Luke 15. It's the story of the prodigal son. Many see that story as unfolding the human condition. You remember that story, the younger son who wanted to take his inheritance early. He wanted to be free. He wanted to be free to live his life outside the home. He wanted to exercise his freedom to live as he wanted to live without restraint or responsibility. And in essence, what happened is he wasted his freedom along with his inheritance. In the name of freedom, his understanding of freedom, he became destitute. Again, many see this as the greatest story Jesus told, in essence, because it's the story of every one of us here today. We may not have gone to the lengths of the gutter as this young man had done, but all of us have made bad choices in our lives. All of us have used our free will and our freedom to carry out unrighteous acts. The scripture declares that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. I love what someone has said, there is always free cheese on a mousetrap. We actually concede our freedom by our own misguided understanding of freedom, even through the free choices that we make. At the end of Romans chapter 7, I am happy to say the pertinent question that Paul asked, who shall deliver me? Notice that word, who shall deliver me? Who shall set me free? The answer, thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Christ came, concerning Jesus coming, here's what he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. To what? For what purpose? To bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And notice what he says next. To proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners. The coming of Jesus was to set the captives free, to those held in bondage to sin and unrighteousness. And yes, who use their free will even to do unrighteous acts. He came to set us captives free. The Gospels relay the story of Jesus preaching and teaching and healing, setting people free that were infirm, setting people free like the woman at the well or the woman taken in adultery. He set them free. Yet the ultimate deliverance would come through his sacrifice. Herein we see another great aspect of freedom. And this is why I think we value freedom so much, not just because it is innate in us, not just because we're created with that freedom, but because of the cost of freedom. And think about our nation's history and the sacrifices that brought about our freedom. Some of the more patriotic voices of the past cries like Patrick Henry, give me liberty. Or give me death. Patrick Henry delivered that speech on the rights of the colonies before the Virginia Assembly in Richmond on March the 23rd, 1775. Or another great American patriot, Nathan Hale, who said, I only regret that I have but one life to give to my country. He said that September 22nd, 1776, he was hanged for spying on the British troops. All those who signed the Declaration of Independence suffered greatly. Five signers were captured by the British, imprisoned, subject to torture. 12 signers had their homes looted, burned, and confiscated. 9 signers died in battle from the hardships of war. Others lost their wives and children, who were killed, jailed, or left destitute. In our nation's history, perhaps no greater conflict that affected our country outside of the Civil War was World War II. This past month in June, we remember D-Day and those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our nation and our freedom. A few years ago, I was traveling in Dothan, Alabama, a previous appointment, and I was driving by Collins Business, and they had a huge American flag flying out. It was one of the largest flags I'd ever seen in my life. The wind was blowing, and the flag was waving beautifully from its giant mast. And at the same time as I was watching that flag in that moment, I was actually listening to a song that was made popular by Twyla Perrish. It's entitled, "What Did He Die For?" And one of the verses of that song, she depicts D-Day. He was 21 in 1944. He was hope and courage on a lonely shore, sent there by a mother who loved beyond her tears. Just a young American who chose to rise above his fears. And as I watch him struggle up that hill without a thought of turning back, I can't help but wonder, what did he die for when he died for you and me and made a sacrifice so that we could all be free? I believe we will answer each to heaven for the way we spend this priceless liberty. Look inside and ask the question, what did he die for when he died for you and me? Like, we value freedom today because of the sacrifices of those who died so that we may live and live freely. That song has a second part speaking about Jesus climbing up another hill called Calvary without a thought of turning back. It speaks more spiritually and eternally about the nature of freedom. It's free to us, but it cost him everything. As Isaiah prophesied in chapter 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes, we are healed. Understanding the cost of freedom should make us both value it and guard it to the highest degree, but also use it in the most responsible manner. I close with a quote from Viktor Frankl. It's not on the screen today, but Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor and the writer of the text, Man's Search for Meaning. And he noted that we have a Statue of Liberty on the East Coast. But he also said he believed we need a Statue of Responsibility on the West Coast. And he wasn't just talking about California. He's talking about the entire nation. Freedom is always restrained with responsibility and echoes what Paul says in Galatians. Make sure you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. In the words of the communion liturgy today, we're going to hear these words once again about Jesus' sacrifice for us. And borrowing what I wrote in the newsletter article earlier this week, he freed us from captivity to sin and death, and he freed us for joyful obedience. Freedom with responsibility. We have much to celebrate as a nation and as the people of God. And despite all of our struggles at home and abroad, of all the people on the planet, you and I should consider ourselves most blessed. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church? Whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. As we come to celebrate in these holy moments, this sacrificial meal, we pray that we would once again know that it was through your offering, your sacrifice, that you set us free from captivity to sin and death. And you freed us so that we may joyfully obey and live for you. And we thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.